This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
So let me ask you this. What would it take for a total skeptic, someone who laughs off ghost stories, to turn into a believer? Would it be the flickering lights, the cold breeze on the back of your neck, or maybe even the unexplained sounds that seem to come from nowhere? Or maybe it takes something more personal. Something that makes you question reality and leaves you with a scar you can't quite explain. This story, well, it's one of those. A group of co-workers on the last night of a work trip decides to push their limits, mostly thanks to one guy named Ajay. He doesn't believe in the supernatural, doesn't care for ghost stories, and definitely doesn't buy into the idea that a graveyard, of all places, could hold any power over him. And that's exactly how we end up in a place where most people wouldn't dare to go at night, let alone hang out. AJ, drunk on bravado and a little too much to drink, decides to take a dare to spend time alone in an old cemetery, the kind with headstones half forgotten and shadows that seem to have a life of their own. His friend tags along, probably thinking, what's the worst that could happen? Well, sometimes the worst isn't just something you can imagine. Sometimes it's something you can feel. A heavy hand on your back when no one's there. The breathlessness of fear you can't shake. And a figure. A figure that's so real, you'll swear it looked at you, even though no one else saw it. Not to mention the eerie detail, the gatekeeper who lets them in. Yeah, it turns out he's been dead for years. So here's the thing. AJ went from cracking jokes about ghosts to becoming a man who now wears a TVs. A protective charm everywhere he goes. I guess the question is, what do you think really happened in that graveyard that night? And more importantly, what would it take to make you believe? Here's the letter. Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be writing to you with a story like this, but after what happened in that cemetery, I've got no choice. It's funny how you go from being a total skeptic one minute to questioning everything you thought you knew about the world in the next. So here it is. It all started in early 2009 when I took a new job. As part of the induction, I had to travel to Bangalore for 5 days. It seemed straightforward enough, just a week of meetings, presentations, and getting to know the company. The company housed a few of us newbies at a guest house not far from the office. Most of us were just excited to have a chance to explore the city, meet each other, and maybe get a little downtime after the long days. Among the group, I got along really well with three guys, AJ, Shailesh, and Naven. AJ, especially, was a big personality. Loud, always cracking jokes, and completely fearless, or so he claimed. Then there was Naven. He was local to Bangalore, and it was him who first told us about this old graveyard nearby. He said the housekeeper, Shri, had warned him about the place. Apparently, strange things happened there. So strange that people avoided the area, especially at night. Now, Ajay wasn't having any of that. He laughed it off, said ghosts weren't real, and teased us for even entertaining the idea. Naven, though, had heard enough stories from locals to be cautious, and I could tell he was a little uneasy. Still, for most of the week, we didn't think much of it. We were there for work, after all. But then, on our last night in Bangalore, things took a turn. After our final session, the company treated us to a big dinner. Ajay had a few too many drinks. He was in high spirits, cracking jokes, and acting like the life of the party. When we got back to the guest house, we were all packing up and reminiscing about the week when Naven brought up the graveyard again. He must have been annoyed by Ajay's constant disbelief because he dared him to spend an hour there, alone. Now Ajay, being his usual cocky self, accepted the dare on the spot. No hesitation. He stood up, ready to go, despite the fact that it was past midnight and we were in a place none of us really knew. I tried to talk him out of it. I mean, sure, I didn't believe in ghosts either, but going to a graveyard in the middle of the night didn't exactly sound like a great idea. But Ajay wouldn't listen. And that's when I made a decision. I'm still not sure was smart. I went with him. We left the guest house and headed toward the graveyard. It was a chilly night, and the road leading to the cemetery was eerily quiet. No streetlights, no signs of life, just this long stretch of empty road. It was about a kilometer away, but it felt like the longest walk of my life. AJ was still full of bravado, talking about how he was going to prove there was nothing to be scared of. But the further we got, the quieter he became. When we finally reached the graveyard, we were greeted by an old man who introduced himself as Abu Chacha, the night watchman. He asked us why we were there at such a late hour, and Ajay, quick as ever, made up some story about visiting a relative's grave. I have no idea why Abu Chacha believed him, but he did. He let us in and told us to be quick. The cemetery itself was a chilling sight. It was old, with crumbling headstones and graves that looked like they hadn't been visited in decades. A cemented path ran through the middle, flanked by graves on either side, and an eerie silence filled the air. The only sounds were the occasional rustling of leaves and the distant howling of stray dogs. It was colder than I'd expected for Bangalore, but I chalked it up to the winter night. AJ spotted a bench a little way off the path and insisted we sit down. I didn't want to, but he was determined, so I went along with it. As soon as we sat down, he lit a cigarette, despite my protest. I told him it wasn't right to smoke in a place like this, but he didn't care. He was still treating this whole thing like a joke. But then something changed. After sitting in silence for a while, AJ decided he wanted to explore deeper into the graveyard. Again, I told him it was time to leave, but he waved me off. We hadn't walked far when AJ stopped suddenly and told me he had to pee. I tried to stop him, told him it was disrespectful, but he just laughed and walked off into the bushes. That's when things got strange. As soon as he disappeared into the bushes, I felt this overwhelming weakness. It was like something was draining the life out of me. I could barely breathe, and my legs felt like they were about to give way. I dropped to my knees, struggling to catch my breath, and that's when I saw it. Ahead of me, there was a figure, dark and shadowy, but unmistakably there. It was just standing at the edge of the path, watching me. My heart was pounding in my chest, and as I tried to focus on it, the figure moved, slowly disappearing into the darkness. I was terrified. I never felt anything like it before. My whole body was shaking, and I knew something wasn't right. I called out for AJ, but there was no answer. That's when I remembered where he'd gone. Forcing myself to stand, I made my way toward the bushes, and then I saw him. AJ was lying face down on the ground, completely still. My heart dropped. I rushed over, shaking him, trying to get him to wake up. It took a few seconds, but eventually, he stirred. When he opened his eyes, they were filled with confusion and fear. He told me that just as he was about to finish peeing, he felt something standing behind him. Then, out of nowhere, he felt this heavy blow on his back. That was the last thing he remembered before passing out. When I checked his back later, there was a clear handprint, 5 fingers, like someone had slapped him so hard that the blood had clotted under his skin. But there had been no one else there, Tony, no one. We didn't waste any time getting out of that graveyard. But as we were leaving, we were stopped by a young man, someone who worked as the real night watchman. He asked us what we were doing there. And when we mentioned the old man, Abu Chacha, his face went pale. He told us that no one named Abu Chacha had worked there for years. Whoever or whatever we had met that night, it wasn't someone who was still alive. That's when Ajay collapsed, right there at the gate. I had to call the others to come pick us up. We didn't get back to the guest house until nearly 4 a.m. AJ was sick for days afterward, running a high fever and completely out of it. I've never seen him like that. He used to laugh off ghost stories, but now... well, let's just say he doesn't laugh anymore. AJ had collapsed, and we had just made it back to the guest house after that chilling night at the cemetery. You'd think that would have been enough to stop us from talking about what happened, but the truth is, we couldn't stop thinking about it. It haunted me. And AJ, well, he was a different person after that. He was quiet, distant. The guy who once scoffed at the very idea of ghosts was now wearing a talisman around his neck, a taviz, for protection. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That night after AJ fell sick, we had to call in a doctor. He couldn't move much, and the fever had left him delirious. The strange thing was, every time we brought up what happened at the cemetery, AJ would shut down. It was as if he couldn't bring himself to talk about it. He kept muttering something under his breath, something about the hand and how cold it had felt. He kept saying it wasn't human. Honestly, Tony, I didn't know what to believe. But when I saw that bruise on his back, the handprint that seemed to be burned into his skin, I knew something wasn't right. The next day we called in Shri, the caretaker of the guest house. He was a superstitious guy, but also kind and always looking out for us. When he heard about what happened, his face turned pale. He cursed under his breath, then told us in no uncertain terms that we were lucky to have made it back. Apparently, there had been stories about people going into that cemetery at night and never coming out the same. But it wasn't just the graveyard that was cursed, it was the spirit that haunted it, the spirit of Abu Chacha. Now here's where things get even stranger. According to Shri, the real Abu Chacha had been the night watchman of that cemetery for years, maybe even decades. He was known as a kind but stern man who took his job seriously. But one night, about 5 years before our little misadventure, he had been found dead inside the cemetery. Heart attack, they said. But ever since then, people claimed to have seen him roaming the grounds late at night, still guarding the graves. Some said they'd spoken to him, that he'd given them warnings to leave before it was too late. But others weren't so lucky. Some of them had come back with stories like ours, handprints on their bodies, strange feelings of suffocation, even blackouts. Shri was convinced that the spirit of Abu Chacha wasn't at rest. The fact that he led us into the graveyard that night, it wasn't out of kindness. It was like he was drawing us in, pulling us towards something sinister. AJ didn't need much convincing. His fever lasted for days. And when he finally recovered, he went straight to a priest in his hometown. That's when he was given the Taviz, the protective amulet. And since then, he hasn't gone anywhere without it. He doesn't talk about that night. In fact, he's tried to block it out completely. But I know he remembers. You can see it in his eyes, the way they dart around like he's expecting something or someone to appear. A few months later, I bumped into Ajay at a work event. We hadn't spoken much since that night, but I had to ask him how he was doing. He told me something that sent a chill down my spine. He said that sometimes, late at night, he still feels it. The cold hand on his back, pressing down as if to remind him of what happened. He's woken up more than once, gasping for breath, the memory of that graveyard fresh in his mind. He swears he's seen shadows at the foot of his bed, watching him waiting. I don't know, Tony. Part of me wants to believe that it was all just a freak coincidence. Maybe we were just spooked and our minds played tricks on us. But there's another part of me, the part that felt that suffocating weight in the graveyard, that knows something darker was at play. You see, the skeptic in me has always tried to rationalize things, to find explanations for the unexplainable. But after that night, I'm not so sure anymore. How do you explain a bruise in the shape of a hand when no one was there? How do you explain the figure I saw in the distance, the one that disappeared into the shadows? And how do you explain Ajay, a man who once laughed at ghost stories, now living in fear? It's been a while since that night, and life has gone back to normal for the most part. But every now and then, I'll think about the graveyard. I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't gone with AJ. Would he have come back at all? Or would he have been another victim of whatever haunts that place? Here's the thing, Tony. I've always been a practical guy. I don't jump to conclusions, and I don't scare easily. But that night changed something in me. It made me realize that maybe, just maybe, there are things in this world that we can't explain. Things that don't fit neatly into our understanding of how the world works. And so now whenever I hear someone scoff at the idea of ghosts or spirits, I can't help but think about Ajay and the cemetery. I think about that cold hand on his back and the way he hasn't been the same since. So what do you think, Tony? Was it all just a trick of the mind? Or did we really come face to face with something that night? Something that wasn't quite ready to let us leave? Sincerely, Ravi. So let's unpack that, shall we? A graveyard. A mysterious night watchman who's supposedly been dead for years. And a couple of guys who thought they were going on a late night dare. What could possibly go wrong, right? I mean, nothing says bad idea quite like going to a cemetery at midnight. But hey, let's give credit where it's due. AJ certainly had the courage to face whatever lurked there. Or maybe that was just the alcohol talking. But here's where it gets interesting. That moment when Ravi felt like the air was being squeezed out of him. That's not just your run-of-the-mill freak out. No, that's the kind of terror that sticks with you. It's the feeling of something bigger, something unseen pressing down on you, like you've walked into a space that isn't meant for the living. You know, the kind of sensation where you swear the world itself is pushing you away because you're trespassing. It's as if the dead are gently reminding you, this is our domain now, pal. Kindly see yourself out. And poor AJ. I mean, if he wasn't a believer before, he sure is now. It's not every day you get knocked out by a ghost, or in this case, a handprint that bruised the guy's back as if some unseen force decided to get a little too physical. When you hear stories about people who go to places like this and come back changed, this is what they're talking about. AJ didn't just walk into that graveyard and leave. Something stayed with him, call it energy, call it a ghost, or call it a figment of his imagination. But whatever it was, it left its mark, literally. Now, what really grabs me about this story is the role of the so-called Abu Chacha. You gotta love the detail of a dead night watchman still, well, watching the night. What do you do when the very guy who's supposed to be guarding the place isn't exactly alive anymore? There's a certain poetic justice to that, isn't there? The protector of the graves in death, becoming the very thing that haunts them. Let's talk about this for a second. Why do we have such an obsession with the dead trying to communicate or guard their territory? It's a theme that runs through ghost stories across cultures. Maybe it's because deep down we all wonder, what happens after we're gone? Is there still unfinished business? Are there places like this graveyard where the dead are simply not ready to move on? And then there's the more scientific side of things. Was this just a case of heightened fear and adrenaline? A couple of guys daring each other, fueled by excitement and nerves, could easily explain the feelings of breathlessness, hallucinations, and that overall sense of dread. Fear is a powerful thing after all. It can trick the mind, make you see things, feel things that aren't really there. But a bruise shaped like a hand? That's a little harder to brush off. I mean, unless one of them got a little too rough and they're stumbling through the dark, it's not exactly something that should appear out of nowhere. Let's not forget the mysterious figure Ravi saw. Shadowy figures at the edge of your vision. That's ghost story gold, my friends. But what's more chilling is the fact that this figure seemed to acknowledge him. That pause, that moment of recognition before it melted away. That's not just a ghost being a passive observer. That's a ghost saying, yes, I see you too. So, here's where I'm left with a big, juicy question. Was this whole ordeal just one of those eerie coincidences where fear and the human mind conspire to scare the living daylights out of us? Or did Ravi and Ajay stumble into something far darker, a place where the lines between the living and the dead blur just enough for things to reach out? Here's the thing with stories like these. They always leave us with more questions than answers. We want to believe that there's some explanation, that science or reason can make sense of it all. But every once in a while, you get a story that shakes you just enough to think, maybe, just maybe, there's something more out there. So, was this the work of a long-dead watchman still guarding his cemetery? Or was it just the effect of being in the wrong place at the wrong time? Either way, it seems the dead had something to say that night, and maybe, just maybe, they're not done talking.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.